Our scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers.
It is so good to see you today. We got a couple of things that we should have already told you about that I want to share with you before we begin our lesson. One of them is that the hard, difficult task that Angela has had trying to get her new daughter, Pilar, her citizenship has been completed. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday this happened. And so your prayers were answered, and all the red tape just went away, and they were able to get that done. And we're really glad about that, and that I'm sure the brethren down in Sucre are excited to hear that this family is totally sewed up tight and together. Also, we want to tell you that next Sunday, Patsy and I are going to be going with the kids to LTC and enjoy that time together. And Kurt Chun will be preaching here. Some people have asked me, what's the deal with Kurt? Well, the deal is that we have, every church has at least two doors. And there's a door that people come in by and a door that people leave by. Now, I'm not talking about those glass doors at the front. And we do maybe an adequate job at the front door, helping people into the fellowship and into the Christ, maybe not near what we should, and Kurt's going to help us with that. But we have way too many people leaving the back door. They come to church for a while, and then they leave the fellowship, and one reason that happens is not because they didn't want to be Christians, it's they just didn't know anybody, and they didn't get attached and involved in the work where it's really their job. Kurt's going to help us with that. And so I'm really happy that he's coming, that he's going to be added to the staff here. You should be happy if you know him. You know what him and Deborah, you know what they are, you know the kind of people they are, and you know that the benefit that they will give to us. And so you want to be sure and welcome him. They won't be moving here till he's a college professor now, and they won't be moving here till school's out, but he's coming down this Sunday, this next Sunday, to preach. Milt will be preaching that night. And another announcement that I'm just so thrilled, Naomi Martin's here today. Naomi was baptized into Christ last Wednesday, and we're all just thrilled about that. And if you would, as soon as we're dismissed, we're going to form a welcome circle, and we're going to welcome Naomi into our fellowship here. So you'll want to be sure and stay for that. The scripture we read a moment ago from Proverbs chapter 6 is not one of your favorite scriptures. It and many other scriptures like it that fill the Old Testament and some in the New Testament are the reason that many people are turning their back on church today. Their biggest complaint is that the God is too judgmental and the church is too judgmental, and that whose business is it to tell me what's right and what's wrong, and that we should be more tolerant of people. A matter of fact, in our culture today, anything is tolerated except not tolerating something. And so this kind of an attitude of some even say, I like the God of the New Testament where the cross is and grace is, but I don't much like the God of the Old Testament, even though it's the same God. And if you read the New Testament very much, you'll see in almost every letter, there's a list of sinful activity that God puts his foot down on and says he's not going to tolerate it. In the passage in Proverbs, he said there's certain things that God hates and other things that are detestable to him. In the New Testament, we would see in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, he said, "Now the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissensions, the party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we wanted to, we could read a dozen more passages just like that. The list would be a little different, but it's sins that God does not like. Matter of fact, there are things that God hates. God hates sin. And we can't make apology for him. He's God. If we know anything about love, we learned it from God. If we know anything about grace, we learned it from God. If we know anything about righteousness and holiness, we learned it from God. He is without question. He is without. He sets his own standard. He is God. If God tells us something, it's right. And God hates sin. Now, we can understand why he hates sin, because we know that sin is evil. Sin will kill you. Sin hurts you when you commit it. It hurts you when you try to quit it. It hurts those people around you. Sin hurts everybody. One reason God hates sin is because he loves people and he knows what sin does to them. Sin takes people to hell. If you were ever lied to, if you were ever stolen from, if you were ever beat up, if you were ever betrayed, you know why God hates sin. Sin is the reason that prisons are so large. Sin is the reason that we have so many policemen on the road. Sin is the reason that people were afraid to open packages last week that were found on their porches, because sin hurts people. God hates sin. And we need to remember, as his people, we should never, listen carefully, we should never, ever, ever love something that God hates. Now, we might commit it, but we shouldn't love it. We should never love something that God hates. It makes the Bible look kind of grim, doesn't it? And yet we learn another great truth that runs parallel with it. It seems to be a contradiction. It seems, how can this be? I thought you just said that God hates sin. He does. He calls it an abomination. He calls it detestable. He says people that are caught up in this that don't get out of it don't go to heaven. Sin is awful, and as far as God's concerned, it's a horrible thing, and he hates it. But the Bible also tells us, that God loves sinners. How can that be? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. That was the criticism they made of him. You spend an awful lot of time with sinners. I remember one of the very first times that I worked as a preacher, some people in the church told me not to spend too much time with lost people. They've already made up their mind, and you just don't need to be spending time. They actually, I think, wanted more of an activity director for the church and not an evangelist. An adulterous woman was thrown at the feet of Jesus, and he didn't condemn her. He loved her. A sinful woman snuck into a party and started kissing his feet, and he didn't pull them away from her. A rich young ruler who loved the things that he owned instead of this kingdom of heaven, the Bible said when Jesus looked at him, he loved him. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God loves sinners, but God hates sin. God hates divorce. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, those very words, God hates divorce, but God loves divorced people. God hates lies, but God loves liars. God hates homosexuality and any other form of perversion, but God loves homosexuals. God hates pride, but God loves the proud. God hates adultery, but God loves adulterers. God hates stealing, but God loves thieves. God hates lust, but God loves the lustful. God hates cruelty, but God loves the cruel. God hates covetousness, but God loves the greedy. God hates gluttony, but God loves the gluttons. God hates prejudice, but God loves the bigots. Do you get it? Do you get what he's telling us here? God hates sin, but God loves sinners. There's a simple application, church. Pay close attention. A simple application. Number one, we must never, ever love something that God hates. The church is way too tolerant on sin in our own life and in our congregation. Some sins we prefer and we love. We think some prejudice is all right, or some greed is healthy, or we might even call pride as something like ambition or something like that. We should never love anything that God hates. Number two, we must never, ever hate something that God loves. Is it possible for us to love a sinner and hate sin? I'll tell you a little secret. It's not only possible, you've been doing it for years. I hate my sins, but I love me. I know what they're doing to me. I don't want to do them, but I love me. Is it possible for us to be like Jesus and hate sin but love the sinners? And number three, church, we must, as God's church, we must hate sin and stop practicing it, stop ignoring it, and stop tolerating it. He calls us to be holy people, and he's given us the blood of his Son to cleanse us, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to help sanctify us. But we have to open the door. We have to say, have you checked under the bed? Let's move that refrigerator out and see what's dead back there. Let's clean my life up and not trying to shield it and hide it and practice it. We must be like God if we're going to be the body of Christ in this earth. That means we must hate sin and we must love sinners. We usually turn it the other way around. We usually love some sins and we hate sinners, as if somehow it's going to rub off on us if we happen to be sitting next to someone who's a sinner, or we don't want to talk to them, or we don't want to be around them. The Pharisees were really good at that, as they taught for doctrine the precepts of men. Today, we must learn to love sinners. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not willing that any should perish. But unfortunately, far too many of us are willing that they perish. It's not hard to hate sinners. Look at what they do. Look at the terrible things that they do. Look at the nasty way that they live. Look at their arrogance. Look at how they think about us. But if we're going to look like God, we're going to love sinners. It doesn't mean we condone sin. We hate sin because God hates sin. God is not willing that any should perish, but unfortunately, there's too many of us that are willing that others perish. Let's decide right now, not anymore. We're going to love sinners. And we're going to hate sin. We are no longer willing. We're no longer willing for sin to run in our own life. And we're no longer willing to ignore those desperate people that are around us. When we do that, and if we do that, we will be a light shining in this community. A light that others will see, and others will come, And which Christ has lifted up, not only on the cross, but lifted up in this assembly and lifted up in our life so that we look like him, talk like him, act like him, and think like him. When we learn to hate sin and love sinners, all men will be drawn to him. Will we do that? I would say every person here has something to repent of. Won't you come to Jesus while we stand and sing?